So, as advertised, this is the topic of the next 15 minutes. This work was done by myself, two undergraduates, Patrick and Jacob, under the advisement of Stephen Spangler. So, in a sense, preaching to the choir, but why study the magnetic field of the corona? This is a CME session, but I'm going to be talking about the magnetic field of the corona itself, essentially the background stage that CME magnetic fields play out in. So we're interested in this for many reasons, but among them, of course, is a lot of the techniques we've demonstrated here at this conference, as well as the one I'm going to discuss, can be extended to almost any astrophysical plasma, like the interstellar medium, supernova remnants, not just the corona. The beautiful thing about the sun, though, is there's lots and lots of data on it, and we're getting lots and lots more data, so it makes it an excellent object to study, and there's still, of course, plenty of mysteries to unravel, and a lot of them being addressed here today. So how to measure the coronal magnetic field, or at least directly measure it? Classic examples in the photosphere are Zeeman splitting. In the outer or extended corona, beyond 62 solar radii, of course, we have in situ magnetometer measurements, such as the ones done from Helios. In the region of 2 to 15, arguably out to 30 solar radii, the name of the game is Faraday rotation. Faraday rotation is a cute little plasma diagnostic that results from changes in the phase speed of the right and left circularly polarized elements of polarized light. So what happens is you have a polarized radio source, and when the light from that is occulted by a magnetized plasma, it causes a net rotation in the polarization angle. So this net rotation is basically given by this equation here. So three things I'll draw your attention to. One, it's a signed integral that depends on the plasma density and the magnetic field along the line of sight. So it contains information on both the plasma density, so any density enhancements in the plasma will cause a net rotation in the polarization angle, and any enhancements in the magnetic field will do the same thing. In this case, the sign is given positive when the magnetic field is directed along the line of sight toward the observer, negative rotation when the magnetic field is directed away from the observer. Third thing I'll direct your attention to is the fact that this is effectively linear in lambda squared. So if you can observe over multiple frequencies, then you can verify that what you're seeing is indeed Faraday rotation as opposed to rotation by some other process. So important to studies of the corona is if you have a very symmetric field and very symmetric plasma density structure, you can actually get a rotation measure that's close to zero. So I'll say why that's important a little later here. For our purpose, for our experiment, the idea is to boldly go where most no one has gone before. And in this case, that is to measure Faraday rotation of a background extragalactic radio source below 5 solar radii. So most measurements at lower frequencies around 1.4, 1.6, 1.7 gigahertz, which will seem very low if you do X-ray or gamma ray stuff, but for us at those frequencies, it's been really hard to press down below 5 solar radii because of solar interference entering into what are called the side lobes of the primary beam. So it was demonstrated by Whiting in her master's thesis and an EVLA memo that if you go to these higher frequencies of 5 and 6 gigahertz, then you can actually get lower system temperatures, which means lower noise values, so you can get much closer to the sun. So this is as much an experiment, Faraday rotation, as it is seeing if we can press the boundaries of how far we can take radio measurements close to the sun. So these measurements were performed using the Very Large Array in Socorro, New Mexico. And this is the setup that the heavens basically gave us. So we tracked a radio galaxy, 3C228, as it tracked through the corona, beginning of observations, and it marched along over the course of 8 hours closer into the corona to about 4.6 solar radii, sampling different parts, different streamers. This is the polarization structure of the radio galaxy 3C228. So if you're not used to looking at a radio map, some points on this. The grayscale is the polarized intensity of the source. The contours is the total intensity. And the lines are the orientation of the polarization angle here. So as you can see, there are two strongly polarized extended components in this source, and that'll be important because these extended components allow us to have multiple lines of sight through the corona, or through the part of the corona we're sampling, instead of just one line of sight that, say, you would get with a strong spacecraft transmitter. So the can we do it, the answer turned out to be yes. We did get sensitive measurements of coronal Faraday rotation. And this is the primary result for the northern and the southern hotspots of 3C228. First thing that surprised us about this was we were expecting rotation measures, order of magnitude, several tens of radians per meter squared, based on previous measurements at lower frequencies, as well as based on the fact that we were getting much closer to the sun than previous measurements. However, we see basically a swing from negative 20 in both components up towards about positive 20, positive 15, and settling off near zero later on in the observations. We believe we can understand this from a couple phenomenon. One is the inclination of the current sheet that wraps around the sun, with respect to the line of sights that we observed through. That acted to reduce the magnitude of the rotation measure. Two, as demonstrated in this LASCO plot, C2 image, at the beginning of observations, we basically sat inside a coronal streamer, and near the end of the observations, we actually enter into a coronal hole, and this coronal hole is located over the northern solar limb, where the magnetic field is usually thought to be close to unipolar and radial. If you recall, I mentioned that if you have a very symmetric unipolar radial magnetic field, you can actually get measurement close to zero, so that's why we believe this starts to trail off towards zero near the end. So one other important thing I'll point out here is that if you look at the kind of session average, so the average over the 8 hours of observation, you'll notice that the northern component is close to zero, while the southern component has about 5 radians per meter squared. You wouldn't a priori expect them to be different necessarily. You'd actually more than likely expect them to be the same. And if you look at their mean profiles, signified by the solid line here, they look very similar. However, the measurements tell us that there is indeed this difference in rotation measure. And you can see periods around 18 hours UT, 20 hours UT, where there is a distinct difference in the rotation measure. One last note, we know this is the corona causing these rotation measures as opposed to other plasmas like the ionosphere along the lines of, we did two sets of observations, one on a reference day when the corona was kind enough to essentially be out of the way, so the source was far from the sun, and then we did the second set of observations when the source was in the corona. The ionospheric Faraday rotation contribution, if you can't see it because of the podium, is less than 1 radian per meter squared, so it shows up basically on the level of the noise in this plot. I'm not going to get into much detail about this, but you can talk to me during the break or at our poster, But some of the other information you can glean from Faraday rotation measurements include information on currents as well as waves and fluctuations. So if you look at the difference or differential Faraday rotation between two closely spaced lines of sight, in this case, a line of sight to the north component and the south component, taking their difference will tell you about currents in the corona via Ampere's law. This has been demonstrated as a workable technique by Brower and Ding in Madison, Wisconsin, in a laboratory plasma. So we've applied this both Spangler back in 2007, worked out the details, and we've applied this to our observations as well. As you can see on the right here, we do again have those periods where we detect a difference in Faraday rotation. Another thing you can pull out are Faraday rotation fluctuations. So if you remove the mean profile, again, these solid lines, from the rotation measure time series, you get a rotation measure fluctuation or residual rotation measure time series, which we've shown here on the right. And that can give you information on fluctuations in the coronal waves, which some would argue give you information on the magnitude and periods of the Alphane waves in this portion of the corona. That's been argued by Holwig, Bird, Patzold in their 1980s as well as 2000 era papers. So to summarize, we made measurements of coronal Faraday rotation at 5 and 6 gigahertz, and we were able to go below 5 solar radii given the set of observations down to 4.6. We determined rotation measure for the full 8-hour session as well as a rotation measure time series that can again be understood by the inclination and finite thickness of the current sheet with respect to the line of sight of our source, as well as the fact that we were approaching the northern solar pole where the magnetic fields are closer to unipolar and radial. So I'd just like to finish up here by saying that this is consistent with what a lot of people would certainly argue, and we would argue that the magnetic field is well understood at this offset between 2 to 15 solar radii as essentially a dipole component and a Parker spiral or interplanetary magnetic field component. Thank you. If you're interested.
Okay, we have time for one question.
You showed that this effect is also dependent on the density. How do you disentangle the density enhancements caused by being in the streamer belt and then exiting the streamer belt?
Good question. So there's a couple different ways you can disentangle density from the magnetic field. You can either use white light observations to tell you about the density structure. In this case, we use density models to disentangle the two and compare them.
I would say likewise, attributing the small fluctuations to Alphane waves, those could also be due to local density enhancements caused by the release of the slow solar wind.
Yes, I agree.